Hello, world. I'm Greg Batten. Stand by for news and stuff. Oh, all excited on this Wednesday. Why? Well, just knowing that I'm saved and heaven bound. Another day of life, the day that God has given us. He made this day. We're to rejoice and, oh, be glad in it. And John 10:10 said that not only am I going to have eternal life, I can have abundant life right now. So much of it is attitude. Proverbs 23:7, as a man or woman thinketh in his heart, her heart, that's what you are. Whether it's truth or not, your mind accepts it. It doesn't care what you grow in your mind, just like a garden. You can grow corn or poison. You treat them the same. They'll grow up the same. That's why you need a positive outlook on life, my friend. You're saved. That narrow road, according to Matthew 7, that narrow road, you went down it. God saved you. The majority are going to go to hell someday. And that's a sad fact. Thank God today that you're born again and heaven bound. Get out there with a great degree of excitement this Wednesday in serving the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, and soul. Oh, I like that. What in the world is going on? I just hate this story. A California teenage girl who had been kidnapped by her dad followed a sheriff's deputy's orders, appeared to be surrendering and running toward cops when she was shot and killed on the highway. This was back in 2022, but the video and audio has just been released. Savannah Grisnato, 15, shot and killed as she ran toward San Bernardino County sheriff's deputies amid gunfire in September of 22. Her 45-year-old dad, Anthony, also was killed by gunfire. The sheriff released the videos this week following public record requests by several news outlets. The deputies were not wearing body cameras, but video footage was recorded by a helicopter and witnessed with dashboard cameras. How awful is this story? Well, I was fascinated in high school reading George Orwell, the famous novel 1984, An Oppressive Government, symbolized by the phrase Big Brother, is continually spying on everyone and manipulating how and what we think. And in many ways, today's CIA seems to be America's version of Big Brother, or perhaps even exceeds it. By multiple reliable accounts, the CIA has been involved in everything from manipulating the media, which is easy to do, to trafficking drugs, to flipping governments, to controlling Hollywood, even participating in the assassination of a U.S. president, and of course always spying on Mr. and Mrs. American. How about this one? The feds, Tucker Carlson, lawsuit. Officials in the U.S. State Department have been sued for failing to reveal what they said to each other about, Tucker Carlson, who only a few weeks ago was in Moscow to interview Vladimir Putin. Judicial Watch confirmed it's filing a Freedom of Information lawsuit against the state for all emails and diplomatic notes from Secretary of State Antony Blinken, Deputy Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, and other top state officials. That referencing Tucker Carlson. What was going on there? Why would they be doing this? Why are the State Department violating the law to hide any records about Carlson? That's the question. The Fed so far have claimed that there are unusual circumstances that's delaying all of this. Well, I wonder what that means. It all started with Operation Mockingbird. That was a CIA project that recruited journalists to write fake stories promoting government ideas while dispelling communist ones, or at least that's how it all started. The operation began in the 50s, recruiting American journalists into a propaganda network, but was expanded to include influencing foreign media. During the 70s, the U.S. Senate established the Church Committee to examine potential abuses by the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, and the IRS. They're all in the news today, basically for the same reason. It was in 2007, about 700 pages of documents pertaining to scandals and misconduct of those agencies during the 1970s were declassified and released by the CIA, nicknamed the family jewels. It was in 1996 that the Senate Select Committee intelligence report details the use of journalists, clergymen, Peace Corps, and members of the intelligence operation. Commenting on the former ABC News anchor Ted Koppel, I used to watch him all the time, the gathering of intelligence is a difficult, dangerous, and sometimes dirty operation. Is it ever? My, oh my, the new America, a flood of evil, still going on in 2024. Worse than ever. Well, this is awful. If you went to North Carolina State, students, staff members by the dozens have been diagnosed with cancers, including lymphoma, breast cancer, thyroid cancer, and officials are blaming the presence of, well, some sort of toxin linked to cancers in a classroom building. 150 cases involved people who were in or around campus's Poe Hall, which was closed in late 2023 amid documentation of the presence of PCBs. Isn't that something? In business news, what does the housing market look like? Did you know this one? That you need a six-figure income to buy a home in half of the U.S.'s 50 states. Hey, how about this? U.S. housing is owned by older people. I guess everybody knows that, right? 90% of whom are over 40. 74% are owned by people over 50. And as the baby boomers age, they will downsize. So there'll be some 45 million homes that are going to be coming on the market. That's a huge supply, given that the peak number of existing home transactions was 7 million. And that the current rate of sales is just over 4 million. So you're going to have a supply glut coming up that is inevitably going to hit the market soon. Maybe it's time to sell our house here, huh? Here's where the young male element comes in, by the way. What experts are calling the avocado toast generation, or younger millennials plus Generation Z, aren't buying homes like they used to. And there's also the highest percentage of single men ever on record in America. Women are less likely to live at home. One out of five young men live at home with their mom and dad. So we're going to have a big glut of housing. Is that what we're saying? Yep. Well, this will make some of you happy. In health news, if you're between the ages of 45 and 85, you should have a colorectal cancer screening routine in place per the American Cancer Society. Yeah, colonoscopy, in which your doctor uses a special camera to look inside of you. Nobody likes that. Looking for some abnormal growth. Well, you can choose now from non-invasive screening methods. Computed tomography. Colonography. Try it. You'll like it. Well, who wouldn't? Ever had a colonoscopy? Also called virtual colonoscopy. In short, an x-ray. Doesn't require any anesthesia, sedation, and, oh, I think everybody's going to like this story, if you're older especially. Overnight, an earthquake rocked the entire island of Taiwan, killing nine, injuring hundreds, collapsing buildings in a southern city, and sparking a brief tsunami warning for the southern Japanese islands. The fire department said nine people have died in the mountainous, sparsely populated eastern county of Luoyang, where the earthquake epicenter was located. Hear about this one? Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry urged state officials to enact a policy that requires student athletes to be present for the national anthem. That should be a give me. After the LSU women's basketball team received harsh backlash for missing the national anthem before its regional final game against Iowa, in which they lost. Ha ha. Republican governor became the latest figure to call out the Tigers for being noticeably absent, but the coach said they're never out there for the national anthem. What in the world is going on? Yeah, it's the new America, a flood of evil. It's just like this everywhere. Let's not just pick on LSU. Before the UConn Southern California game, neither team was on the floor during the national anthem. They ought to be on the floor, hands over their heart. Oh, good grief, Charlie Brown, what's this country coming to? Living in today's world, couple of good news stories. We need them. This man came into my yard a couple hours ago. By the way, this is from Taylors, South Carolina. I lived there when I went to Bob Jones University. This man came into my yard, offered to cut my grass for a certain price. I didn't have enough money today to afford that, so I told him to come back in a week or so. A few minutes ago, I heard a loud noise outside my house. I opened the door and noticed that he was cutting my grass anyway. I went running out there and yelled at him. I said, "Stop." He shook his head no. He told me he saw my kids playing in the yard and was worried about snakes. Snakes being in the grass, maybe biting them. The grass was too tall. I again told him to stop because I couldn't pay him. He said he didn't need to be paid. He had grandchildren, and he'd hoped someone would look after them the same way. I started to cry. I gave him a big hug. We talked about different struggles we've had in life, and he told me that this is what the news doesn't report. He told me the news doesn't report the black neighbor helping out the white neighbor because it isn't good for news, and you can't make any money with a story like that. I told him that he has a good heart. I told him I wish more people on earth were like him. We hugged again. He's still outside cutting the grass, and it's getting dark. I'm so grateful to have him as my new friend. His name is Johnny here in Taylors. He cut my grass for free tonight because he was worried about my children playing outside in the tall grass. I hope he gets some recognition. Great story. Here's another. More often than not, you say, those of you that are older, that we sound a lot like Paul Harvey's old program. That's not an accident. Ever hear of Paul Harvey's letter to his grandkids? "We tried so hard," said Paul, "to make things better for our kids that we made them worse. For my grandchildren, I'd like it better. I'd really like for them to know about hand-me-down clothes and homemade ice cream and leftover meatloaf sandwiches. I really would. I hope you learn humility by being humiliated, and that you learn honesty by being cheated. I hope you learn to make your own bed and mow the lawn and wash the car. And I really hope nobody gives you a brand new car when you're 16. It would be good if at least one time you can see puppies born and your old dog being put to sleep. I hope you get a black eye fighting for something you believe in. I hope you have to share a bedroom with your younger brother or sister, and it's all right if you have to draw a line down the middle of the room, but when he wants to crawl under the covers with you because he's scared, I hope you let him do it. When you want to see a movie and your little brother or sister wants to tag along, I hope you let him or her. I hope you have to walk uphill to school with your friends and that you live in a town where you can walk like that safely. On rainy days when you have to catch a ride, I hope you don't have to ask the driver to drop you off two blocks away so you won't be seen riding with someone as uncool, perhaps, as your mom. If you want a slingshot, I hope your dad teaches you how to make one instead of buying one. I hope you learn to dig in the dirt and read some books. When you learn to use computers, I hope you also learn to add and subtract in your head. I hope you get teased by your friends when you have your first crush on a boy or girl, and when you talk back to your mother that you learn what ivory soap really tastes like. May you skin your knee climbing a mountain, burn your hand on a stove, and stick your tongue on a frozen flagpole. I don't care if you try a beer once, but I hope you don't like it. And if a friend offers you dope or a joint, I hope you realize he or she is not really your friend. I sure hope you make time to sit on the porch with your grandma or grandpa and go fishing with your uncle. May you feel sorrow at a funeral and joy during the holidays. I hope your mother punishes you when you throw a baseball through your neighbor's window and that she hugs you and kisses you at Christmas when you give her a plaster mold of your hand. These things I wish for you. Tough times and disappointment. Hard work and happiness. To me, it's really the only way to appreciate life. Well, where's my Bible? Life 101 is next. Well, it's a fact. So many people were asking for it. It's now available. The video, the TV series that we did on the spirit world, available at SWRC.com or 1-800-652-1144. Recently released, praise the Lord, 36-part video series, Invisible War of the Saints, Victor or Victim. And the book, oh yeah, it's available, InvisibleWarOnTheSaints.com. So many of you have purchased that, in some instances, many copies. Thank you very much from Greg Pett Ministries and Southwest Radio Ministries. It's a big deal, my friend. Coming soon, our new seminars on the spirit world, How to Battle the Enemy. It is fantastic. I just read Dr. Copley's book on, again, victory in Jesus for workers who want to be in warfare. It's going to be coming out very soon at Southwest. Thank you so much for your prayers. Keep it up, my friend. God is growing this important ministry. Oh, we started this yesterday. The topic, temptation. Resisting the lures of the devil and his demons. And how do I get victory and not be a victim in this temptation thing? So if you want to know 10 minutes of what we said yesterday, go to that program. It's available, by the way, whcbradio.org. Just follow the links there. Satan tempts all of us, to worship things of this world instead of worshiping God. Every one of us. Everyone susceptible to his pull, his wiles, his ways. Even Jesus, because he was fully man, was tempted. Hebrews 4:15, but he was without sin. What a wonderful assurance you can have today to know that you and I never have to face a single temptation that Jesus didn't face. As long as we live in this old body, we're going to remain subject to temptation. Our lack of awareness leads easily into sin. Scripture warns us, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. In other words, don't let yourself be lulled into that thinking. What are you thinking, by the way? Hey, I'm not susceptible to any of that stuff. Things like that don't affect me at all. Remember, Satan's prowling around like a roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8. He knows, doesn't he? That if he can get you to cross the line just one time, going to be a lot easier that second time around. If he can tempt you to step over the line again and again for a while, you're going to be well entrenched in sin and possibly demonic bondage or control by demons. Consequently, you got to stay awake and alert. For the believer, every temptation is control. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God's faithful, not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will, with that temptation, provide a way to escape so that you'll be able to endure it. Notice that we're not in control. God's in control. And three of his attributes are at work when we face temptation. First of all, his faithfulness. He said he isn't going to tempt you beyond what you're able to withstand. He simply will not allow that to happen. Do you believe it? Second is his omnipotence. That is, God can and, in fact, does limit Satan's temptations in every single believer. The nature of his control is not to make us strong with ourselves. Rather, he brings us to the realization that the Holy Spirit within enables us to be strong, enables us to say no. And that third trait, it's a big one. His great love, L-O-V-E, for you. He gives us a way to escape whatever the enticement is. That means every tempting situation is conquerable, my friend. However, we're not victorious 100% of the time. No, because we don't always obediently opt for the escape hatch that God has for us. So I might be asking, as you are, how do I deal with temptation then? Glad you asked, my friend. Satan tries to narrow your focus onto something really minuscule. That object, whatever it is that's enticing you, tempting you. Our Heavenly Father, on the other hand, desires that we keep sight on the big picture, focus on him, and there are several ways to build up a defense system against temptation in your life. In fact, there's six really good ones. Number one, ask yourself questions. Before you take action, consider the answers to the following. If I yield to this thing, what's going to be the immediate and future consequences to me and all of those around me? Am I prepared to pay the price? Is there a better way to get this thing taken care of? That is a good one. Everybody has one or more vulnerabilities. Did you know that? So number two, you've got to identify what your weakness is. But if you're unaware what yours are, then ask God to show you. In addition, be mindful of objects and places and situations that might foster temptation and avoid them. The word halt, H-A-L-T, they say is a helpful reminder not to let yourself to get too hungry or too angry or too lonely or too tired. Well, that's good advice when you're working in the demonic, I discovered. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. The body, soul, and spirit all work together. You are more susceptible to the enemy's wiles when you're weary, when you're worn, when you're hungry. Satan looks for those opportunities to mount his forces against you. And then visualize that victory that you have. Too often we set ourselves up for failure by thinking, I'm afraid I'm going to fall. Faith is the ability to envision something positive before it ever happens. So picture yourself having a godly response and tell yourself, here's what I believe the Lord wants me to request of him, to talk to him about. And once you begin to program your mind, your thinking, in a faith-filled, godly way, you're going to begin to act the way you think. Proverbs 23:7, great verse. Number four, be accountable to someone. Select a friend, a confidential, trustworthy brother or sister in Christ who is supportive of you and willing to ask you, were you able to withstand that thing today? There's something strengthening about a friend checking in on you, knowing where you are and what you're doing. If you have to give an account to someone every day, you know what? God's going to use that person as an encourager, as something really special in your life. Do you have someone like that, or is it all you? Number five, set aside a daily time that you have in prayer and meditation. It doesn't matter whether it takes place morning, noon, or night, as long as you're alone with God every day, someplace in your prayer closet. During those intimate times together, you can unload your heart to the Lord, and he will re-energize you. We all need that. He will rekindle your spirit, and he will refocus your attention. Remember what I always say, glance at the enemy, focus on Christ. And then finally, learn to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. Until you understand how the indwelling helper works in your life to enable, to empower you, all your attempts to resist those temptations are going to depend on your strength, and that's scary. You're just going to continue to fall, fail. But if you resist the devil, build up those defenses through the power of Almighty God, and depend upon the Holy Spirit, your leader, you will get victory in Jesus, and you won't be a victim. You may ask, what if I fail? You probably will. Satan wants you to wallow in that failure, that self-pity. Don't you do it. Instead, immediately ask God to forgive you of your sin. Turn around, walk away, don't look back, don't look back. Thank God for his forgiveness, and thank him for the victory he's going to give you the next time you're tempted. Really good stuff. Temptation, how to be the victor and not the victim. And finally, for many of our young people, I think this is where we are. Guy asks, hey, has your son decided what he wants to be when he grows up? Yeah, he wants to be a garbage man, was the reply. Well, I said, well, that's an unusual ambition to have at such a young age. Oh, not really, he said. He thinks that garbage men only work on Tuesdays. Yeah, that's America today. Hey, you've been listening to Hello World News, information, well, stuff. Thank you for being here. Join me on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Had my say for another day. That's the way it is. Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. I am Greg Patton. God bless. Thank you for your time.